Okay, we're holding on to Yom Adaf Chaf Hey. We're at the top of Chaf Hey Amar Aleph. We just dealt with a proof for Rav Huna's Shita that the Kohan would not wear the Big Day Kahuna during the lottery. Now we're going to deal with Rav Sheshet's Shita, bring a proof for his Shita that the Kohanim would wear the Big Day Kahuna during the lottery. Amar Rav Sheshet, we know Amin Allah. So Rav Sheshet says, where do I know my Shita from? Netanya, we learned it right up. Lishkata Gazit Kimin Basilki Gidola Haita. That the Lishkata Gazit, where the lottery took place, was a very was built like a basilica. It's a very large structure. Pais Haitam Mizrach of Zaken Yoshev Marva. The lottery took place in the east, and the elders would sit in the west. VaKohanim Mukafin VaOmdin Kamin B'Chuliar. The Kohanim would sit around them in a semicircle. VaMuna Ba VaNotel Mitznefet Mirosh Shulchan Mehem. So the one who was going to do the lottery came and took the Mitznefet, the Kohen's hat, off the Kohen's head. VaYodin Shemenu Pais Matfil, and that's how they would know who the counting starts from. Now, if you want to say they weren't in the Big Day Kahuna, why exactly were they wearing the special turban of the Kohen? Clearly, they were in the Big Day Kahuna. There is a special turban that could even be worn in non Big Day Kahuna. Kiritani Rav Yehuda ve'i teima Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda kohen jastelo imo ketonet oved ba avodat yechid. Right, where do we see an example, an explicit mentioning of a kohen who would be wearing a mitznefet even though they're not the Big Day Kahuna? We did have this instance where, okay, in general, the Big Day Kahuna had to be made from the donations to the Beit HaMikdash. However, the question comes up, if the Kohen's mother wants to sew him, you know, some special Big Day Kahuna garments that she feels, you know, she wants to give to him, can he do the avodah in it? So avodat yachid, individual avodas, he can do in it, but avodat tzibur, avodas on behalf of the public, he may not do in that, in those garments, because the garments have to be sanctified through the donations to the Beit HaMikdash. So, we do have a case where the Kohanim are wearing bigadim that are not considered the proper Big Day Kahuna because his mother made it for him, and yet it's identical to the Big Day Kahuna, in which case there may be a mitznefet. We can infer, by the way, from this braita that this lishka, the large room we're dealing with, half of it is in sanctified territory and half is in non-sanctified territory. And we can also infer that it must have had two entrances, that one was open to Kodesh and one was open to Chol. Okay, how exactly do we infer that? Disa gadaitach kul b'kodesh, zakin yoshev marva, v'amar mar, ein yeshiv bazara el malche b'david bilvad. If you want to say that it was all in Kodesh, you're going to have a problem. Because we just taught that an elder is sitting in this lishka. But wait, an elder is not allowed to sit in this... the only people who are allowed to sit in this Kodesh territory is descendant of David Melech, someone who is a king, basically. Someone who is in the line of Malchut. They're allowed to sit in the Azara. However, a normal sage, doesn't matter how smart he is, doesn't matter how learned he is, he's not allowed to it's not allowed to sit down there. So it must be that part of it was not in consecrated territory. Now, if you want to say that, okay, the entire thing was just in unconsecrated space, I get that he could only sit if it was unconsecrated, but who says that half of it has to be Kodesh? Maybe the entire thing wasn't Kodesh. Pais b'mizracha v'habainan b'veit elokim nehalech b'ragesh v'leika. Well, it says that the lottery, you know, happened in the east, right? But you require that, or when we're dealing with the pais, what we wanted to accomplish was this excitement in the Beit Elokim, as we mentioned earlier. But you're not in the Beit Elokim, apparently, because you're not in Kodesh territory. So no, we have to say that the pais was in the Beit Elokim, was in sanctified territory. That way, we have the excitement that we're generating in the Beit Elokim. So half of this room must have been in Kodesh, half of the room must have been in the Chol. Elash Mamina, Chetzi B'Kodesh V'Chetzi B'Chol. V'Yisal G'daitach, Petach Echad Yeshla, Patuach L'Kodesh Zaken, Yoshev B'Ma'arava, V'Atnan HaLishachot, V'Habnuyot B'Chol, Patuchot L'Kodesh, Tochan Kodesh. V'Yisal G'daitach, Patuach L'Chol, Pais Mizracha, V'Atnan B'Nuyot B'Kodesh, Patuchot L'Chol, Tochan Chol. Elash Mamina, Shniptach, Emayula, Echad Patuach B'Kodesh, V'Chad Patuach L'Chol. We have to understand that there are two, there must be two doorways here. There must be two entrances. Must be two entrances. How do we know that? Because anything that's built in non-consecrated property, but it opens up into consecrated property, so then the inside of that entrance becomes consecrated. And vice versa, anything built in consecrated property and open to non-consecrated property, then the inside of that property becomes non-consecrated. So if this room only had one entrance and it was opened to Kodesh, then we'd have to say the room is Kodesh, and how can the Zaken sit there? If it only had one entrance and it was open to Chol, then we'd have to say that the whole room is Chol, and how could you do the pious there? Must be that the room was half in Kodesh, half in Chol. There were two entrances. One was open to Kodesh and one was open to Chol. Okay, new Mishnah. Hapayis Hasheni. When it comes to the second lottery, right? We said multiple lotteries happen. The second lottery, Mishochet, that's where you determine who does the slaughtering of the Tamid, Korban Tamid. Mizorek, who throws the blood. Mibidash and Mizbeach HaPnimi, who clears off the ash from the altar on the inside. Mibidash and the Menorah, who clears off the ash from the Menorah. Mimale Verim Lekabesh, who takes the limbs of the offering up to the Mizbeach. Harosh v'haregel, one of them is going to carry the head and the hind leg. V'shtei yadayim, one of them is going to carry the two forelegs. Ha'oketz v'haregel, one is going to carry the tail and the other hind leg. Ha'chazeh v'hageira, one is going to carry the neck and the chest. U'shtei adfanot, and one's going to carry the two sides of the body. V'akirvayim, and one's going to carry the intestine. V'hasolet, one is going to carry the fine flour for the mincha offering. V'chavitin, one's going to carry the chavitin for the chavitin offering. V'hayayin, one's going to carry the wine for the nisach hayayin. Shlosha asar kohanim zachubo. A total of 13 kohanim. 13 kohanim would be winners in this lottery. Amar ben Azai, lefnei Rabbi Akiva, b'shum Rabbi Yoshua, derech hiducho haya karev. Ben Azai makes a comment that in the way the animal walks, you know, what limbs come first, that is the way that you do the offerings of the various limbs. Gemara. Yibai lehu, shehen b'faisin, l'avoda achar b'faisin, odil malachol avoda v'avoda him b'faisin. How exactly does this lottery work? We said there are 13 winners. So do they pull for one winner and then the, you know, one Kohen wins and then like, let's say the next 12 who follow him just, you know, get the other avodas? Or do they actually do a lottery for each and every one of those 13 people? Tashma. Well, maybe we could suggest a proof from the following Mishnah. Arba payasot hayusha. There were four lotteries that were cast there. Now, if you want to say that every single avoda got its own lottery, you need much more than four. That we said we just listed 13 avoda right now. How can you only have four? Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Achikamar Arba Pamim Nichnasin Afis V'Chol Chad V'Chada Hayu Batu Paisov. No, that's not a good proof. I mean, he wanted to say that because there are only four lotteries, but there are more avodas, must be you couldn't do a lottery for every single avoda. That just means that there are four times they would gather to do the lottery, but each time they gathered, they did more than one. How about this proof? Tashma, Rabbi Yehuda Omer lo haya pais lemachta el kohen zacha bektoret Omer leze sheimo zachei mi b'machta. Right. So Rabbi Yehuda says that there was no unique lottery when it came to carrying the coals into the inner mizbeach for the purpose of burning up the incense. Rather, what happened? Whoever was zoche by the burning of the incense just said to a kohen, hey, come with me and you take care of the coals. So clearly, we do see that even if one kohen wins, then he tells the other kohanim, you know, to join with him. They don't get their individual lottery. Shani machta victor dechad avodahi. No, you can't bring me a proof from the burning of the incense and the carrying of the coals into the mizbeach, because that's all one avoda. These aren't multiple avodas that one of them wins and tells another kohen to help him out with a different avoda. This was one avoda, and so you can choose kind of your you can choose someone else to help you with this one avoda. Ikeda Amri, there are those who say that you can get the following proof. Davka machta uktoret dechada avodahi aval shar avodot by pais. Meaning, I'm going to bring the same exact case. Because you taught me that this Kohen gets to choose a friend to help him with the avoda, I can learn that davka, when it comes to the ktoret and the coals, That is when one kohen tells another to help him out, because it's one avoda. So anything that's two or more avodas must be they get their individual lottery. Meaning from the fact, we originally wanted to bring a proof from the fact that this guy tells his friend to help him out, that clearly not every avoda gets the lottery. And we answered, we said that's not a good proof because this is one avoda. Now we're trying to bring the opposite proof and saying that because the only time that you tell me that a kohen can tell his friend to join him is by this instance of whether there are two parts of the same avoda, must be that whenever it's multiple different avodas, the kohen cannot tell the other guy to join him. It must be that each and every one gets their individual avoda. Machta itzrichale salkedai tachamina ho'il velo shchicha u'me'atra natkin la'pais b'fnei atzma kamash melan. No, that's not a good proof. You can't tell me that because it teaches me by the coals that the whoever gets the ketoret can tell someone to join him with the coals. Because you can't tell me that because it only teaches it there, it's only true for here, but wherever it's an independent avoda, then it has an individual lottery. I needed to teach you it in here. We didn't come and teach you that this is true for the machta to exclude everything else and everything else gets their own lottery. Rather, I came to teach you that this works for the machta, because I needed to teach you that this works for the machta, because the machta is different. Not to exclude the other ones, but because you would not have known it if I didn't teach it explicitly. Well, why is it so different? Because it's not such a common avoda, and it was considered a big honor to be involved in this avoda. It's considered something that was like a segula for wealth. So you may have thought that because it's not so common and it's a big kavod, obviously we're going to do a pious, an individual pious for it. We're going to do an individual lottery for something that's such a big kavod. That's why I had to teach you that there's no individual lottery for this kavod. Not because this is the only thing that doesn't have an individual lottery for, but because you had a really big hava mina that it would have an individual lottery. Tashima, Netani Rabbi Chi, lo lekol avoda ve'avoda mefaisin. Rabbi Chia taught as follows. Not each and every single avoda gets its own lottery. Right? Rather, whoever gets the tamid, their, you know, 12 kohanim work with him, just immediately get pulled along with him. So that's pretty good proof, explicitly taught by Rabbi Chia, that you don't do a lottery for each and every avoda. Pais Hasheni, okay, the Gemara, the Mishnah spoke about the second lottery. Ibailahu, mi mekabel, shoch mekabel, the EMR, zorek mekabel, agav chavivuta lo mekabel lelechulei dam, odilma zorek mekabel, DMR shoche mekabel, zimnin de shachit zar. Okay, so we have the shochet and the zorek, the person doing the slaughtering and the person sprinkling the blood. And the question is, who collects the blood, right? Generally, you slaughter the animal, you collect the blood, and then you sprinkle the blood onto the mizbeach. And the question is, we have a kohen who's doing the shechita, a kohen who's doing the zrika. The question is, who's catching the blood? Is it the one who's slaughtering it or the one who's doing the zrika? Now, what would be the problem with the one doing the zrika? Well, the one doing the zrika is probably really excited to do his avoda. In which case, he's going to catch a little bit of blood and then immediately start doing the zrika. And he's not going to catch all the blood. He's not going to wait because he's excited to do his avoda. Or would you say, okay, well then let's say the shochet does the kibul hadam. He catches the blood. Well, that's a little bit of a problem because if the shochet is the one who catches the blood, you run into the following issue, that the shechita is kosher bizarre. A non-kohen is allowed to do the shechita, but a non-kohen is not allowed to do the kibul hadam, the kabbalat hadam. In which case, what do you do in that instance? If sometimes you could have a non-kohen who's doing the shechita, then who's supposed to catch the dam? Because it can't be him, it can't be the non-kohen. So who does the kibul? Tashma ben katin asach nemesar dad lekior. So let's learn proof from the following braita. So ben katin made 12 spouts for the water basin. Kedesh yush nemesar echav kohanim asuki mitamid. That way 12 fellow kohanim can all be involved in the tamid. They all wash their hands and feet at one time. Mekadjin yedeim v'raglim bevat achat. They can all sanctify their hands and feet at one time. Now, if you want to say that the slaughterer, what who slaughtered the tamid, would be mekabel the dam, you'd really need 13 kohanim. Right? Because we have 13 avodot. We have the one slaughter in the Korban Tamid, and then you have 12 additional ones. Now, you don't have to slaughter the Korban Tamid with pure hands and pure feet. So, that's why you only needed 12 spouts, because the one doing the Korban Tamid didn't need to purify his hands and his feet. So he would go in without purifying his hands and feet. 12 other Kohanim doing the other 12 avodas would have to sanctify their hands and their feet. And that's why you only need the 12 spouts. However, if you're saying the Kohen who's slaughtering the animal is going to be the one to be Mekabel the Dam, if you're Mekabel the Dam, you need to sanctify your hands and feet. So how are 12 spouts enough? You'd need 13 spouts. Must be that the person who is sprinkling the blood and already needs to sanctify his hands and feet because he's sprinkling the blood is the one who catches the blood, and therefore it's enough that we have 12 spouts. Elav shmamina zorek mikabel shmamina. So you can indeed learn from this proof that the one who sprinkles the blood, he is the one who receives it. Amar le rav achabrei the rav le rav ashi af ana nami tanina shoche shachad shoche vekibel mikabel uvalo lizrok shmamina. Says we also teach this from the following: shachad shoche. The slaughterer slaughters it, the kibel and the kabel, and then the one who receives it, uvalu lizrok, and then he throws it on. Clearly it's the one who receives it who throws him on. Shmami not, you can infer from that bright as well. Amar ben Azai, lifnei Rabbi Akiva, case of ben Azai said to Rabbi Akiva that we offer the limbs in the order the animal walks. Tana Rabbanan. The rabbis taught in a brighta. Ketzad derech hilucho. How exactly do we bring in the limbs to the Mizbeach in the order of its walking? Harosh v'aregel. First, you have the head and the hind leg. They move first. Hachazeh v'ageira, and the breast and the neck immediately follow. B'shtei adayim, and the two forelegs immediately follow. B'shtei tefanot, and the two sides of the body immediately follow. V'okitz v'aregel. The tail and the other hind leg, they're last. That's one opinion. Rabbi Yossi, says, no, it's like this. Derech hefsheto haya karev. It was offered not in how it walked, but how the order in which it's skinned. Ketza derech hefsheto. So what's the order in which it's skinned? Harosh v'regel. First you start with the head and one of the hind legs. Ha'okitz v'regel. And then you would skin the tail and the other hind leg. U'shtei tefano. Then you'd skin the two sides of the body. Ushtei hayadayim, and then the other two legs, achazev agir, and then the breast of the neck. Rabbi Akiva Omer, here's a third shita. Derech nituchoh hayakarev. In fact, it was offered in the way that the evarim, the limbs, were removed from the body. Ketzad derech nituchoh. How did you remove the limbs from the body? Harosh v'regel. First you start with the head and then the hind leg. Ushtei adayim, then you go to the two forelegs. Chazev agera, the neck and the chest. Okay, it's v'regel, and then you do the tail and the other hind leg. Rabbi Yosef Lili Omer, a fourth shita. Derech iluyo hayakarev. It's offered in order to the best quality of the meat. Ketzah derech iluyo. What's the best quality? It has that order. Harosh v'regel. You start with the head and the hind leg. Hachazev v'ager. Then you go to the breast and the neck. Shtei adfana. Then you go to the two sides of the body. V'okitz v'aregel. Then you go to the tail and the hind leg. Shtei adayim. Then you go to two forelegs. Now, mashma from his shita that the two sides of the body seem to be better than the hind leg. V'hachtiv kol netach tov yarech v'chatech. But isn't it written in the pasuk in Yechezkel the good cuts of meat, the thigh and the shoulder? Now, from the fact that it lists the thigh as, you know, before the shoulder as like one of the best cuts of meat, so clearly that should have been the thigh, the hind leg, which includes the thigh, should have been before the sides of the body. Ahi bekechusha. That's referring to a lean animal. But when it comes to a fatty animal, it's different. Amarava, ben tana didano ben tana obein rabbi yosi, batar iluya devisra azlinan. Both our Tana and Rabbi Yossi follow the quality of the meat. Mar azil batar evra debisra, mar azil batar shamda debisra. Just one of them goes after the quality of the meat itself, and one goes after which meat is fattiest, and that's what he considers to be the best one. My Tana Tzalka regal bahadei reisha. Why does the hind leg go together with the head? Mishum de resha nefishe be atzamot karva regel behade. Because the head has so many bones with it, the leg is offered together with it. So the head has to go first. We're about to explain why. However, because it's so bony and doesn't have a lot of meat, to make it a more mechubad offering, we include something that has a lot of meat on it. We'll deal with how we know that the head goes first in the next daf.